Today's shiur is Masechet Ksubos Daf Nun Aleph, and we will begin on Daf Nun Amud Beis, 12 lines from the bottom. In the previous shiur, we had discussed that one of the Tanai Ksuba is that the stipulation in the Ksuba that the husband writes that if he is to pass away and have still daughters at home, his estate is responsible to support those girls. And we learned that that responsibility is limited only to real estate. If he leaves over metaltlin, they are not used to support these girls. Says the Gemara, Rav Ami Rav Asi sovel amezim metaltlin. Rav Ami Rav Asi wanted to support orphan girls from metaltlin. Omul Rav Yaakov Bar Idi. So Rav Yaakov Bar Idi said to them, Milsad Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish Le'ovah Be'Uvda. Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish did not act that way. Atan Avdin Be'Uvda. You want to act that way, it's something that you shouldn't do. Similarly, Rav Elazar Sovel Amazim Metatlin. Rav Elazar wanted to support Yisaymis from Metatlin. Omul Afan Rav Shimon Ben Yochum. So Rav Shimon Ben Yochum said to him, Rebbe, I know about you, my Rebbe. This that you want to support these girls from Metatlin is not because you believe that so is the halacha. Elamidus rachmanis. You're doing this because you have pity, mercy on these girls, on these yisaimis. However, you have to be concerned. Shema yira talmidim. Perhaps the talmidim will see you act this way, not recognizing that you're only doing this out of rachmanis, rather mistakenly believing that you're doing this because sodi halacha requires, v'yikvu halacha l'dayris, that a girl is supported from the metaltlin, and therefore avoid doing this to prevent creating the wrong halachic impression. Says the Gemara, Hahu the Osla Kameid Rav Yosef. There was a girl, a Yosaim, who came to Rav Yosef. Amluhu, he told, and she asked for support. She said her father had died, and she wanted support from his estate. Amluhu, Havla Metamri Dal Budja. So he said to the Yosaimim, give it from the dates that are on the mats. Amluhu Abayu. So Abayu said to him, Ila Bal Choyv Hava. If a creditor of the father who passed away came, Kai Gavna mi Haviyov Lemar, would you give him these dates? Even a Bal Choyv, who, as Rashi explains, has more of a claim than the daughters, only has the right to collect from Karka. They cannot collect from the metaltlin of the Yosaimim. So certainly the Yosaima, the orphan girl, does not have a right to collect from metaltlin. Amalei, so Rav Yosef said to Abaya, the chazil abudja kamina. But I didn't mean that she could collect from the dates that were already detached. Certainly those are metaltlin from which she does not have a right to collect her support. What I meant was, I meant from dates that are still connected to the ground, to the tree. Ask the Gemara, Saif Saif, even if they're still connected, don't we have a rule that Kala Oymed Ligzois Kegazus Dami, that anything that's ready to be cut, the halacha already considers cut? Says Rav Yosef, the Tzrich L'Dikla Kamina. What I meant was, regarding dates that still need the palm tree, and therefore are considered, certainly still connected, and certainly considered karka, from which the girl has a right to collect her support. And as Ritva explains, the Gemara's Havamina Meskonim, and he also is coming to try to answer a question of Tosfos. Tosfos asks that our Gemara is assuming the Kola Oymed Ligzot Kegazos Dami, that anything that stands to be cut, the Halacha already considers cut. Ask Tosfos that is actually a subject of dispute in a number of places in Shas, Masechet Shavuos, and Masechet Bava Kamma. Do we say Kol Ha'omer Ligzos Kegazos Dami? So how is our Gemara so quick to assume that is the halacha? So the Ritva explains that in the Havamina, The Gemara thought that these dates, although they were still connected, were so not needing the nutrition of the tree already that everybody would agree that if they're so ripe and no longer require nutrition from the tree, it should be considered gozus. And at that, the Gemara answered that they still aren't that ripe, and the tree does still offer nutrition, and therefore it's not necessarily considered kagozus dami, as if they're cut. It's interesting, this concept of kala oimer ligzus kagozus dami is used in another area of halacha. We know the halacha is that an esrig which is chaser, an esrig which is missing even the smallest part of the esrig, is a disqualified esrig. And therefore the question comes up that many esrogim don't have a pitim, and how could they be considered kosher? All esrogim, when they begin to grow, have a pitim, and the pitim just falls off. And we know that the halacha is that as long as the pitim falls off while the esrig is still connected to the tree, we don't consider that esrig a chaser. Rather, we consider it a kosher esrig. Why? Says the Chasam Sofer, the explanation is our Gemara. Kala oimed ligzos kegozos domi. Anything that's ultimately going to happen, which is about to happen, is already considered disconnected. The pitim is going to certainly fall off on these esrogim, and therefore the halacha already views it as if it's off and it's from the beginning and is not considered a chaser. And the Chasam Sofer goes on to say, as we just said, that this subject of kala oimed ligzos kegozos domi is actually a machlokes. Says the Chasam Sofer, even the man the Omer who holds the kala oimed ligzos lav kegozos domi, and it's not automatically considered detached, that's only when it's not natural or not something that's going to happen by itself, but something which is naturally going to occur by itself, there everyone, says the Chasam Sofer, will agree that kala oimed ligzos kegozos domi. And since the pitim of these esrogim is always going to fall off, it's considered kala oimed ligzos, and it's not considered a chaser. In fact, Rav Ozner uses this concept of the Chasam Sofer for another area of halacha. The halacha is that the ink that is used to write a Sefer Torah must be black. Says Rav Ozner, there are inks that are not commonly used nowadays, but older Sefer Torah may have this problem, that naturally, chemically decompose and lose their black color, and they get like a reddish tinge, a copper look. Says Rav Ozner, the Shalos HaTshuva Shevet HaLevi, since this is a natural occurrence, which is going to for sure happen, if we take the concept of the Chasam Sofer, that something that's naturally going to occur, the halacha views as certainly going to happen, says Rav Ozner, so even now that the ink is black, it should be considered a disqualified ink to be used for Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzos. Says the Gemara, Hu Yosem v'Yosem da'asel kamei d'Rava. There were Yosem and Yosem that came to Rava. And it was a situation where the father had left, had died, the estate was being managed by apotropsim. Amalu Rava, so Rava said to the apotropis, Helu Yosam b'shvil Yosoyma. When you give food, metaplin, to the Yosam, also give for the Yosoyma. Ask the Gemara, Amale Rabbanan l'Rava, v'marhu da'amim mekarku le'matantli. You're the man that says that only karku can be used to support your sinus, not metatlin. So how are you saying that metatlin should be given to these girls for support? And you said this halacha ben l'mezayne, whether it comes for the mezaynus, ben l'ksuba, for the ksuba payment, or l'panasa, or for the dowry. So how could you say that we should use metamplin for the support of these girls? Amalus Rava answered, Ilarotza Shivchla Shamshai. If this boy wanted a maidservant to service him. Milo yavinalei, we would give it to him. Koshken hachad katarti. Certainly, in this case, where not only will he have his sister help him serve him, but will also it's a sister who he could be comfortable to live with. So, as the Meiri explains the Gemara, what the Gemara is saying is that indeed this girl is not entitled to support from the metaplin. The only reason she's receiving this support is because she is a sister who will serve her brother, and the estate does give metaplin for yosaimim, and the estate, when it gives metaplin for yosaimim, gives whatever the yosam needs, even a maidservant to service him. But therefore, says the Miri, she should have to actually service him. And what will be the halacha, discussed the Meiri and other Rishonim, if she refuses? She says, I'm not going to be his maid. Still, perhaps, they say, this approach of the Gemara is acceptable, because if he wants that he should have the opportunity that his sister should live with him, that is considered a need of his, and therefore may be acceptable also, even if she won't act as a maid. Certainly, it's preferable she should act as a maid, as the Gemara and the Meiri suggest. In fact, the Meiri goes on to say, we've been discussing and will continue to discuss the obligation of the estate of the father because of the Tanai Ksuba to support the daughters. However, the halacha is that that support is only up to when the girls are at the age of a begeris. Once the daughters are above that age, there is no obligation to support. Says the Rishonim that here, using this eitza, this advice that the Gemara gives us, it could work even for a girl who's above the age of begeris. A sister could get supported by saying, the brother saying, I want my sister to live with me and be with me and also serve as a maid in my home. Continues the Gemara with this discussion about what assets left by the father's estate ought to be used to support the Yosaimos. Tanabonin, Echen Nechosim Sheesh Lamechrayis, Vechen Nechosim Sheen Lamechrayis, both real estate and metaplin, Metzien Lamozin Isha Bonis, are used for the support of the wife, of the widow, and the orphan girls. Divrei Rebbe. Rav Shimon Alozheimer, Nechosim Sheesh Lamechrayis, real estate, Metzien Lamozin Min Abonim, the halacha is that if the father left over real estate and the sons went and grabbed all of that real estate, the daughters have a right to say that we have a right of support from that real estate. Similarly, ulabonos min abonos, if the father left over a number of girls to be supported and the older daughters grabbed this real estate, the younger girls have a claim of support also, and can go to Bezdin and say that the older girls have no right to take all of these real estate assets. Ulabonim and abonim, if the father left over a number of sons and the older sons took all of these assets, the younger said, we are equals Yarshim, we also deserve a share of an inheritance, and you have no right to take all of them. Ulabonim min abonois benechosim merubim, if the father left over a decent amount of assets, that there's enough to support the daughters and some more left over for Yerusha, and the amount that's considered merubim, we said either is for a year's worth of support or until the girls become gedolos. So the halacha, and if the girls went and grabbed all of these assets, the sons have the right to say, we deserve it because there's extra, which is our inheritance. However, if the estate is a small estate and there's only enough to supply the support that the girls are deserving, then the sons have no right to make a claim to the girls if they collected all of the assets. Nechosim she'en lemachrayis, but when we're dealing with metatlin, metziim lebonim and abonim, again, if the older sons took all of the assets, the younger sons have a right of a claim. They say, you don't deserve, we're also partners in this inheritance. Ulabonis menabonis, if there were only daughters, the data halacha is that the daughters are the yarshim. If the older daughters took all of these assets, the younger daughters have a right to claim, we also deserve our share. Ulabonim Minabonos. If their daughters took all of these metatlin, the sons come and say, you have no right to these metatlin, they belong to us. Avloy Labonos Minabonim. If the sons took all these assets, the daughters have no rights to them, because the daughters, even though they're supposed to be supported, says Rav Shimon, do not get supported from Metaltlin. And concludes the Braisa. Afagav the Kaimalon, concludes the Gemara. Afagav the Kaimalon Halach Rebbe Mechaveroi. Even though normally we know the Halach is, the Rebbe has a machloikis with one of his colleagues, the Halach is like Rebbe. And here Rebbe says that Mezoinis are taken both from a Metaltlin and from Karka on behalf of the daughters. Hocha, in our situation that we're discussing, the Halacha is Rav Shimon ben Elazar. The Omer Rava, because Rava said, Hilchos the Halacha is, Mimakarka v'loi Metaltli. We take only from real estate, not from Metaltlin. Bein l'ksuba, bein l'mezoina, bein l'panasa, whether it's the ksuba payment or support or the dowry, are only taken from Karka. However, quotes Tosfos that there's a takonis ga'oinim, that even though our Gemara concludes that the Tanai Ksuba is only from, that girls should be supported, that the assignments are only supported from Karka, there's a takonis ga'oinim that came later that the support of the widow and the daughters also comes from Metaltlin, and that's what we follow. Continues our Mishnah in describing and discussing the Ksuba. And as the Miri explains in introducing our Mishnah, although we learned earlier in our Masechta that there were different places with different Minhagim, and in some places there was a minig that the Ksuba wasn't written at all, because the Ksuba is a Tanai Bezdin, that the wife, the woman, is entitled to the Ksuba. Our Mishnah teaches us, the Miri, that even in a place where there is a minig to write a ksuba, still, if like kosov lo ksuba, if the husband did not write the ksuba, even in a locale where the ksuba is typically written, the halacha is psula goyve masayim, a wife who got married as a psula is entitled to masayim, v'almona is entitled to Amana, Mipneshu Tanai Bezdin, the Ksubas of Tanai Bezdin, that the wife is always entitled to. Continues the Mishnah. Kosov la Sada Shav Amana Tach Masayim Zos. If the husband, in writing the Ksuba, assigned her payment from a field, which is only worth Amana, instead of giving her the 200 Zos, still, he's going to be responsible to give her 200 Zos. And Rishonim indicate that what the Mishnah is teaching us, that even though the halacha is ein einor l'kakos, the halacha is if I go to the store to buy an item and I'm overcharged by a shtus, by a sixth, it's a mekach tos, it's considered an invalid mekach because there was einor, I was overcharged. That halacha does not apply by real estate, ein einor l'kakos, because real estate really has no hard and fast value. Still, if the husband only assigned a piece of property that's worth $100 for a ksuba that's supposed to be $200, he owes the whole $200. The Mefarshim discuss, the Rishonim discuss, is this under all circumstances, that even if the woman was aware that the piece of property she was assigned for a ksuba is worth less, and she accepted it, is this the halacha? Only when she wasn't aware. But Pasha Pasha in the Mishnah is that if he assigned a piece of property, even though property we can never say really has a value, he has to give the whole 200 zos. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, for like kosov law, if he did not write into the ksuba, kol nechase dislay achroin l'ksubaseh. We know that there's a concept which we will discuss of a chrayas, that if a person says that everything I own you could collect from, and therefore if he sells property after he assumes this obligation, there's a lien on all of this property. And if he dies and he doesn't have any property that she could collect her ksuba payment from. She could go to the lekuchas, to the people he sold those properties and collect. Says the Mishnah, even if he did not include such a clause in the ksuba, chayiv. He still has to pay the 200 zuz, should Tanai Bezdin, it's a Tanai Bezdin that he's responsible to pay it. Continues the Mishnah in teaching us certain clauses of the ksuba, that even if they're not explicitly written into the ksuba, they are required. Lekosovlo, imtishtaboya for kinach. He didn't write into the ksuba that if you'll be kidnapped, I will ransom you, vasim lechlola into, and I'll take you back as a wife. Or if he's a kohen, he didn't write a bekehenis, adrinach lemadonaseich, I will take you back to your father, I'll take you back from where you come, because as we know, the halach is that if she's kidnapped, a kohen may not take her back as a wife, for we are concerned that she had relations while she was kidnapped. And the halach is that a wife of a kohen, even if she had relations against her will, becomes also to her husband. Still, even if this clause is missing from the ksuba, the loch is chayiv, he's obligated to do it. Shutanai bezdin, it's also automatically part of the ksuba. Another din, nishbis, chayiv of doisa. So as we just learned, if she's kidnapped, he has to ransom her out. Vamamar, if however he said, haregit v'ksubasa, he says, you know what, I'm giving her a get, I'm paying off her ksuba, v'tiftas atzma, let her redeem herself. I don't want to be married and be responsible to ransom her. En rishoy, it's not acceptable. He can't do that. On the other hand, loksa, if she becomes chas v'shom sick, chayil r'foysoy, he has to pay for her doctor bills. But here says the Mishnah, Amrei Gita Ksubasa, if he says, here's her get, and I'm paying off a ksuba, Terapis Atzma, and she should take care of herself, pay her own doctor bills, Rishoy, he may do so. So the first question that we need to understand is, why is the halacha by Nishbis Chayiv Levdoisa, and he cannot extract himself by saying, Harei Gita Ksubasa? And why, if she gets sick, can he extract himself by saying Harei Gita V'Ksubasa Terapis Atzma? So the Rishonim give a number of answers. One answer is that the chiyuv of ransoming a wife, as we have learned earlier in our parak, is because the husband eats the peiros of the nechsim belug. So what's happened here is that he has accrued over his life eating the peiros, and now when it comes her turn to get the benefit of him paying the ransom, he can't say there's no deal. He's been eating payrus all these years. It's similar to if someone was paying an insurance policy, a life insurance policy, and then on the day of the death, the life insurance company says, well, we don't want to have the policy effective anymore. That's what he's been paying for all these years. Another explanation given by the Rishonim is the obligation of ransoming comes the moment the woman, Rachmanon Tzlan, is kidnapped. At that moment, her husband has the obligation to ransom her. He can't afterwards say, now I'm divorcing her, she's no longer my wife, I don't have that obligation. The obligation is here and remains. However, the obligation of paying doctor bills for a wife who, Rachmanon Tzlan, becomes ill is similar and is part of the obligation of mezoinus that a husband has to support his wife, for which every day there's a new obligation. So yes, if today she becomes chas v'shalom sick, he has to pay today's doctor's bills. But that has nothing to do with tomorrow's doctor bills. Every day is a separate day, and if they get divorced, he no longer has that responsibility. The Rishonim also point out that the Mishnah uses the word loksa, that she got sick, not by something she did. But if she caused herself to get sick, she acted irresponsibly, then he's not obligated to take care of her medical bills. And in fact, the Rishonim also discuss what will be the halacha if she acted in an irresponsible manner and got herself kidnapped. Will he be obligated to respond to ransom her? And many Rishonim suggest it will be the same halacha. If she caused herself to be kidnapped, he's not responsible to ransom her. Of course, the Rishonim discuss at great length what seems from our mission to be quite unfair, that a wife, Rachmanon Tzlan, becomes sick and the husband could pay off a ksuba and divorce her and say, I'm not any more responsible. And in fact, the Shita quotes the Ravid, that this that our Mishnah says, that our man could say such a thing, is only if the wife is not that ill that she fell to bed. But if Nafla L'Mishkov, certainly a husband cannot do this. And the Ravid's how Psak is based on a Safri. The Safri says that if a man takes a Yafas Toyer with the intention of marrying her, as we know is discussed in Parashas Kisetze, if she becomes sick, he cannot send her away until he takes care of healing her. Says the Ravid, if in a case of a Yafas Toyer, the halacha is that a man has to treat his wife, his treat the Yafas Toyer with so much respect, certainly in the case of a wife that fell a mishkov, a husband could just now walk away from her, give her a get and a ksuba, and not be responsible for her. It says our Mishnah is only referring to a woman who's not that sick that could take care of herself if she were divorced. The Rambam disagrees, and the Rambam and all the Rishonim certainly say it's very unacceptable for a husband to act this way, but halachically the Rambam does not agree to this difference if she was Nafla L'Mishkov or not Nafla L'Mishkov. The Rambam says under all circumstances he could give the get and ksuba and divorce her. What does the Rambam do with the Sifri Bat Yafas Toyer? Says the Gra that he holds that Sifri is only an Asmachta, it's not a real Drosha Midaraisa. Another explanation that the Magen Mishnah gives is that perhaps a Yafas Toyer is required to be treated with more compassion even than a wife. Yafas Toyer was a girl who lived in a different country, had a family, had a country. And this man, this soldier, went and brought her to a strange land, to a strange country, to a strange environment. And then, if Chas V'Shalom, she gets sick, he treats her so terribly that he just throws her away and doesn't take care of her, that's even worse than mistreating a wife. Ramosha says, so just like all the Rishonim we just quoted said, that it's inappropriate for a husband to treat a wife in a way that if she gets sick, to walk away from her. Similarly, is the halacha that if somebody's husband gets sick, it's inappropriate that all of a sudden at that point, the wife should request a get because she doesn't want to have to take care of her husband. Again, the Paiskim say that, the Mashal already says this, that in our world, where we have the Chaim de Reinu Gershim, where a man cannot divorce a wife against her will, most of these halakhas are not that relevant, because if the wife doesn't want to get divorced, and just because the husband wants to divorce her because she got ill, it's not an acceptable reason to, he can't force her to take a get. I saw from Yitzchak Zilberstein also, that when our Mishnah says that the husband has responsibility to take care of her wife's doctor bills, it's not only in the conventional medicine, because even if the wife wants to attempt to use alternative forms of medicine, she's sick and other conventional methods are not working, the halacha would be that the husband would have to pay those medical bills. The Rajba and other Rishonim make another deek in our Mishnah. They make a deek, Mishnah says, Harigita v'ksubasa. They say that if a husband wants to divorce a wife, and he says, I'll give you the get, but I don't have the ksuba payment now. When I'll have the money, I'll pay you the ksuba. That certainly would not be acceptable. It's only acceptable if he pays her the ksuba, then can he give her a get. But to say, I want to give you a get, so I shall no longer be responsible for these medical bills or whatever, and I'll pay you the ksuba later, certainly is not halakhically acceptable. There's a vart. On Shabbos, if Rachman Otzlan, there are ill people, and we make a Mishaberach, in many places we add to the words of the Mishaberach, Shabbos hi melizoik v'refua kroiva lovoi. That at Shabbos, we're not allowed to daven, say tchinas at Shabbos, but Shabbos refua kroiva lovoi. As if to say, because it's Shabbos, Shabbos will take care that the sick person will be well. And the Mefarshim asks, why is it more likely that a sick person will get well on Shabbos over every other day of the week? So the Mefarshim answer. We know the Gemara says that Shabbos came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a complaint. It said that every day of the week has a peer. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Who is my peer? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, There's one nation in the world that also stands separate. Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael will be your peer. So Shabbos and Klal Yisrael are a couple. Say this for him. Just like our Mishnah is teaching us that the husband has a responsibility to take care of his wife getting better, and we quoted that so too does the wife have to take care of the husband. Shabbos and Klal Yisrael are a couple. And if Chas V'Shalom Klal Yisrael is sick, a member of Klal Yisrael is sick, it's couple, it's mate. Shabbos HaKadosh has to take care of getting it better. Shabbos HaMelezoik Refuah Kreiva Lovai. Ask the Gemara Mani, who is the Tan of our Mishnah that says that under all circumstances the wife is entitled to the Ksuba? Says the Gemara Meihi, represents the opinion of Rameya, the Mekol HaPaychel Psulim Masayim, whoever and gives a ksula less than 200 zuz, well, amon mimona, I raise a bilas nus. She's always entitled to this ksuba payment. Dear Rabbi Yehuda, we can't say that it represents the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, because Ha'amah, we're going to learn Rabbi Yehuda holds, roitz a kaisel a psula shtar shal masayim. If one wants, he could write for his wife, who's a psula, a ksuba of 200 zuz, vikai service, and she will then write a receipt, his kabalti mchamana, that I received already a mona of this ksuba, or if he marries a mona, he could write that I'm giving you a ksuba of a mona, and he koseves, and she writes, his kabalti mchachamishim zuz, I already received 50 zuz. So we have a way that the woman will not necessarily receive the whole 200 or 100. Our mission that says that under all circumstances, the wife must receive the payment of 200 or 100 zuz, obviously, is following the opinion of Rameya. However, continues the Gemara, Eima Seifa, it's said in the Seifa Mishnah, Kosv lo sada shavim mona, tachs mesayim zuz, if he gave her a field that's worth a mona, instead of 200 zuz. For like Kosv lo, and he didn't write, kol nechosin isli, achrayin l'ksubasoif, and he did not add a clause of achrayis chayif. He still had, there's still, all of his property is mortgaged to the ksuba. Why? Shutanai Bezdin. Because the halacha is that even if it's not explicitly written, the achrayis, there's a Tanai Bezdin that every ksuba comes with an achrayis. Whose opinion is that? Also Rabbi Yehuda. That follows the opinion of Yehuda. Dom achrayis toyosafihi. That even if the achrayis is missing from the ksuba, it's not, the halacha is that it's included. Di Rameya, because according to Rameya, Hamachrayis laftoy soifahu. Rameya holds that if a document does not have a clause requiring this responsibility, then it's not considered a mistake, it's considered omitted. Our Mishnah that says that the achrayis is always included, and even if it's not there, it's considered to be there, achrayis toy soifer, follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Ask the Rishonim, if that's Pshat in our Mishnah, that the Chrayis is always included, and even if it's not explicitly written, it's as if it's written. We say Chrayis to a Sofer was only a mistake of the Sofer who left out those words, so then why when our Mishnah says this thing, does it say Nesha Tanai Bezdin? The Mishnah should have said, because a Chrayis to a Sofer, says the Ramban, that when the Mishnah uses the words of Nesha Tanai Bezdin, it's not come to discuss the subject of a Chrayis. It's come to discuss the subject of Masayim Emana, that it's a Tanai Bezdin that every Besula gets a Masayim. It's a Tanai Bezdin that every Amana gets a Mana. The Din, however, of Achrayis does depend on the concept of Achrayis Tos Seifer. Tosfos also points out that we do not have to bring the first case of the Mishnah. The second case of the Mishnah itself seems to be self-contradictory. On one hand, the case says that if he wrote her a Mana, the halacha is that she's still entitled to 200, the opinion of Rameya. On the other hand, it says that he always has achrayis, the opinion of Yehuda. So why did the Gemara have to bechlau quote Dereisha? Says Tosfos that that's the derech of Shas. The first the Gemara analyzes Dereisha, and it tries to identify according to which opinion will the Reisha follow, and then the Gemara continues to analyze the Sefer. Although this question that our Mishnah seems to be somewhat contradictory could have been asked from the Sefer alone. Says the Gemara, from where do we see this concept? Remeya holding Achrayis Laf Toyer Sofer. Then now, Matzah Shtar Choyf. If somebody found a document that says the Reuven owes Shimon money. So the halach is like this. Im yesh ba achrayis nechasim, if it's a document that has a clause of achrayis nechasim, the halach is lo yachsir. And as Rashi explains, the situation here is where Reuven owes, the document says Reuven owes Shimon money. And that a document is found in the street. And the question is, who dropped it? Did Shimon the Malva drop it, or did Reuven the Loiva drop it? So we approach Reuven. Reuven says, yes, it was Shimon that dropped it. So if Reuven is saying Shimon dropped it, we certainly should give it back to Shimon. Says the Braisa, that if in this shtar there's a clause of a chrayis, we have to be concerned that Reuven and Shimon conspire together, that Reuven will say that the Shimon dropped it, he still owes Shimon the money. Shimon will come to Reuven. Reuven has no assets from which to collect the loan. And then they'll go to the Lekuchais, to the people that Reuven sold property to. Shimon will collect the money. And then he and Reuven will divide it up amongst themselves. And therefore, the halacha is, layach, so we don't return the shtar even to Shimon. Shebezin, the Framahen, because we don't want, they should be able to use the shtar to collect perhaps illegally from the lekuchas. However, ein b'achrayis nechasim, if there's no clause of achrayis nechasim written in the shtar, then yachzer, because there's nothing to lose if Reuven is agreeing that he owes Shimon the money. Shem Bezdin the from him, Bezdin will not go to the lekuchas if there is no explicit clause of achrayis in the shtar. Divrei Rameyer, this is the opinion of Rameyer. However, whether there is a clause of achrayis in the shtar, or there is no clause of achrayis in the shtar, lo yachzer. Even though Reuven admits that he owes the money to Shimon, we can't give the shtar back to Shimon. Shebezdin from him, Bezdin will use this shtar, even though it doesn't have explicitly written in a clause of achrayis, Bezdin will use it to collect from the creditors, and therefore we have to be concerned that there was a collusion between Reuven and Shimon. Ask the Gemara, Reish Rameya. So the Reish of our Mishnah is the opinion of Rameya, and the Sefer is the opinion of Yehuda, that Chrayas is always included. The Chitema, and if one would want to argue, the Kula Rameya, that the entire Mishnah follows the opinion of Rameya. Vishanile Rameya, but one will say the Rameya holds there's a difference being subal shtori. That in shtar, unless the chrayis is included, we don't automatically assume that there's an achrayis responsibility. On the other hand, in ksuba it's always included. Ask the Gemara Mishanile, is that true? Vatanya, we learned in a braisa, chamisha goyva mechururim. There are five situations where one can only collect from unsold property. Collect from lekuchos. Ve'elhein peirus v'shvach peirus. This is a Gemara Masechta Gittin. The Gemara Masechta Gittin discusses. It's also Gemara Masechta Baba Metzia, where somebody purchased property from a gazlan. A gazlan stole property, and then somebody bought that property from him, and then he put improvements into that property, and now the original owner comes back to claim the property. It's mine. So the halach is, the person who bought the property can go back to the gazlan, to the person who he bought the property from, and collect the money he paid for the property. And if he doesn't have any assets, he can go to the lekuchos of the gazlan. But that's only for the purchase price of the property. For the improvements that he put into the property, he could only collect min hamechurorim from unsold property. Peiros v'shvach peiros, the produce and the improvements, he only could collect mechurorim. Memakabalov lozenes ben ishtoi bas ishtoi, if somebody assumes the responsibility of supporting a stepchild, also only from mechurorim can that obligation be collected. Veget choyshe mechrayis, or if there's a shtar that doesn't have the chrayis clause included, veksubas isha she'en ba chrayis, and also ksuba that doesn't have an achrayis clause. Man shamitle. So who is the mandama that we know that holds Damachrayis Lav Toyer Sofu, that if a Chrayis is not in the Shtar, we don't say it's a mistake, we say that it's missing because it doesn't belong there. It's Rameya. And the Ktani, and Rameya is saying that even in a Ksubis Isha, if a Chrayis is not there, we can't assume that there's a Chrayis. So our mission that says that there is a Chrayis clearly can't be following the opinion of Rameya. Says the Gemara, by saying Rameya, by saying Rabbi Yehuda. We could explain our mission to follow the opinion of Rameya, and we could say that our mission follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. By saying Rabbi Yehuda, Hasim Kosvin Lois Kabalti. When did Rabbi Yehuda say that the wife doesn't necessarily get the whole 200? Where she explicitly wrote that she's waiving part of the payment by saying his Kabalti. Hocho, however, in our Mishnah, lo kosuv lo yiskabalti, and without writing, without expressly waiving her rights, she always gets the 200 by a besula and 100 by almana. Ibai same Rameya, or we could explain the Mishnah follows the opinion of Rameya, my chayv the tani, when the Mishnah says that he's responsible minim mechrorim. She could only collect the masayim zuz only from mechrorim, but never from mishubadim, if the words achrayis are not included in the ksuba. The Mishnah continued discussing the halacha of a woman who was captured, that the husband has to redeem her, and if she's a kahana, she has to send her back home. Amar Avu d'Shmuel, Eish Yisrael shenensa. If a wife of Yisrael was chas v'shalom violated, asur labala. She's not allowed to go back to her husband. Because chayshinon, we're concerned shem t'chilosa ba'oynes v'soifa b'rotzen. Maybe she, although at the beginning it was against her will, as she had a relation with the man, it was done willingly. So there are a number of questions to ask. Firstly, Tosfos asks, if so, how could Esther have returned to Mordechai? Yes, she was forced by Achashverosh, but Avud Shmuel is telling us it's Tchilasa Ba'Oinis, the Seifa Baratzen. So says Tosfos, Esther was a tzaddikus, and by tzaddikus we're not concerned that there was any rotzen. Also, there's a very fundamental machloikus rishonim. This concern that the Avud Shmuel is expressing, is it midoraisa, or is it midrabanan? Tosfos says it's a deraisa concern, because the rabbanon would not disallow a wife to go back to a husband because of a chashash, a wife that was never anyway violated. Other Rishonim disagree and say the words of the Gemara imply chashir, it's only chashash. And it's a Rabbanon that said this halacha. Says the Gemara, Eifei Rav Lavud Shmuel, we said in the Ksuba says, as we've been learning, Im Tishtaboi Afakinach, if you will be kidnapped, I will redeem you, Vasimloch Linto, I'll take you back as a wife. I, according to Avud Shmuel, how could that be? He can't take her back as a wife if she had relations with another man, because he says Tchilasa Ba'Oinis B'Soifa Baratzen Ishtik. So Avud Shmuel was quiet. Karvale Ravale Avud Shmuel Sarum Otzer B'Milim V'Kaf Yosimu Lapeyim. Apostolganiyim. The ministers withheld their words; they put their hands to their mouth. Says the Gemara, My Islamema. And Rav is implying that Avud Shmuel could have answered. What could have he answered? Our mission referring to Shvuya. We don't know for sure that she had relations. So, as the Rishonim explained, it's a Svek Sveka. First of all, we don't know if she had relations. And even if she had relations, it's not for sure that it was B'Soifa Baratzen. But in a case where we know for sure that there was relations, so there's only one Sofik, that's why we're Machmer. Ask the Gemara, or Avud Shmuel, according to Avud Shmuel, that every woman that was violated is also to go back to her husband. Where do we find a case that the Torah says that a wife of Yisrael who was violated, the husband could take her back? What will be the case? Answers the Gemara, Kigayin de Kamri Edim Shetzavcha Mitchil Vatzayif. We are Edim that she was screaming from the beginning of the end of when she had relations. So we know for sure there was no Rotzen. That's the case the Torah is referring to. The Rishonim point out, why can't the Gemara have said that we're referring to a tzaddikus? That we just said, Tosfos says a tzaddikus we know is never soifa baratzen. Say the Rishonim, because the Torah wasn't only written to tzaddikim. or pligged the Rava. However, it says Rava disagrees with Avud Shmuel. Dama Rava calls it chilasa b'ayinus v'sayin for Baratzin. Afili imeres hanichaloi. Even if she says explicitly, leave him alone. Shemeli niskaka hisacharta. That she even says such a statement that if he wouldn't have relations with her, she would hire him to have relations. Muteris. She still could go back to her husband. My tama yetsa albasha. Because we say that in the, as she was doing the act, the yetsa took hold of her. Tanya Kavasi the Rava, and the Braisa corroborates Rava, Tehila in the Tzbasa, if she wasn't forced, that's when Asura, she's not allowed to go back to her husband, if she had an adulterous relationship. Hanit Fasa, if she was forced, Mutaris. Yesh Lachachers, however, there is another woman, Shabish Lain Tfasa, that even though she's not forced, Mutaris, she could go back to her husband. Vezaza, Kosh Tchilasa Ba'ainis, Vesoifa Baratzin, is still allowed to go back to her husband. Tanya Idok, Vila in the Spasa, if she wasn't forced, Asura, she cannot go back to her husband. Hanut Pasa, if she was forced, Mutar, she may go back to her husband. However, there is another woman, Shaf Bishinut Pasa, even though she was forced, Asura, she cannot go back to her husband. Vezaza, as we said before, Eshes Koin. Amr Yudamar Shmuel Mishim Rabbi Shmuel, Vila in the Tfasa, Asura, if she wasn't forced, she can't go back to her husband. Hanut Pasa, if she was forced, Mutar should go back to her husband. V'yesh l'cha cheres. However, there is another case. Shabbi shloin etfas mutaris. V'ezuze. What is the case? Shukudashah kedusha tos. A woman who getting married was done on a t'nai, and then it turns out that it was a kedusha tos. That did aloch is shafila benak merchav ksefa. Even if she already had a child from that husband, memenes. For halchas loy, she could walk away from the marriage, and she doesn't need a get even. And we don't say ein adam oisa bilasa biluznus. Amri Yehuda, hani nashi de ganvi ganvi. These women that were captured by bandits, shana legrivrayu, allowed to go back to the husband. Amle rabbanam Rav Yehuda, from a kamtinal nahama. We see that they're bringing them bread, so obviously that they're having a relationship with rotzen. Says the ma'achus miyura, they're only serving them out of fear. From a kashachim lagiri, they even give them the arrows when they go to battle. Again, it's done machm sira. However, says the Gemara Vaday, shefkin v'azam nafshayu, if the people who capture them would allow them to leave and they don't go, then a siri, that's considered a rotzen and they may not go back to the husband. Tanabonim, shvuyim malchus, people who were captured by the government, harek and shuyin, they're considered captured and they're allowed to go back to the husbands. Genuve listos, but people who are captured by bandits and a kishvuyin and allowed to go back, are not allowed to go back to the husbands. Asking more of a tanya ma'epcha, we learned in the Brai suggest the opposite. Answers the Gemara, malchus and malchus loikasha. The situation of malchus is not a stira. Hava malchus achashverish. If a woman was taken captive by a king like achashverish, who Rashi says, the woman knows that he will never take her as a wife, so obviously any relationship she had with him is under duress, and she could go back to her husband. However, in the case of Benetzer, who was the king of the bandits, where there she has a hope of marrying him, and therefore, if she has a relationship with him, we're concerned it's perotzen, and she can't go back to her husband. Listus a listus like Hasha, and there is no steer by listim. Hob Benetzer, in a bandit like Benetzer, where she wants to marry such a person, so we have to be concerned that the relationship was berotzen. She may not go back to her husband. Hover listen by Alma. Nobody wants to marry such a man, so if she had a relationship with him, it certainly was not berotzen, and she could go back to her husband. Ask the Gemara, or Benetzer, let's understand Benetzer. Hossam, in the first Gemara, we called him Melech, Karlei Melech. Vach Karlei Listim, and then we're calling him Listim. Is he a Melech or is he a Listim? In. We compare him to Achashverosh, Listim who? He's considered a Listim. And when we compare him to other Listim, Gabi Listim to Amma. When we compare him to other Listim, then he's considered Melechu. Everything is comparative and relative who we're comparing him to.